We believe in a God that is a personal God in the sense that he knows you and he knows the very details of your life. This shouldn't scare you because our God is a good God. If God was a bad God and he knew all your stuff, oh boy, you are in trouble. But God is a good God. Can you say amen to that? In fact, the Bible defines him as good. The Bible says, "For the Lord is good and his mercies endure forever." You know, the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So when Jesus is in the house, the spirit of prophecy begins to come in. And what is prophecy? It's very simply this. It's God giving insight, wisdom, knowledge, revelation about present, future, and even past situations that will help us to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. And part of being prophetic is understanding the time in which God wants you to share something. And I had these words on my heart for quite a while this morning, but it just wasn't the time. And so this is the time right before we do announcements and all of that. I felt like God wanted me to do this now. And so I don't know that it's very many people. In fact, it may be one particular person. The Lord told me this morning that there's somebody in here, and I think it may even be somebody on the worship team, which is why he wanted me to do it now, so that they could be free from their instruments. But you've made a significant investment. That doesn't necessarily mean there's lots of zeros, but for you, it's significant. It was a financial investment, and you're a little concerned. You're believing God, but God has a word for you. If that's you today and you're that person, I think it was even in this last week you made that investment, and that's you. You don't have to be on the worship team. I just thought maybe it might be. If that was you, would you come up here? I have a word for you from the Lord. You made an investment, a significant investment. Doesn't have to have a lot of zeros attached to it, but it was significant. And you're believing God, but you're a little bit concerned. I have a word for you. I'm going to wait because I know I'm right. You know why? Because I know Jesus and I know his voice. The Bible says, "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they will not heed, but they'll run from it. But I know this voice." So I'm going to wait for you. It's not an embarrassing thing. It's a good word. So you might as well just come. I'm going to wait for you. While I'm waiting for you, because I'm still waiting. While I'm waiting for you, the second word that the Lord gave to me was simply this. It was attached to that song that said, "I'll love you forever." And this is for many people in this house. I want to tell you that you want to enjoy your Christianity. Can I tell you how to enjoy your Christianity? This is the way that you do it. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let me explain that a little bit. See, that song said, "I'll love you forever." It didn't say, "I'll love you when I think you're being nice to me. I'll love you when you're doing everything that I want you to do." In fact, it amazes me, and I don't mean to get into anybody's personal business if this is your business, but it amazes me how people will get married and have a prenuptial agreement that specifies the terms to which they will remain married. But it's not about that. When we get into a relationship with God, it's for better or for worse. It's in sickness and in health. It's till death do us part. You know what I mean? It's not as long as you make me happy, as long as you maintain a certain waist size, as long as you're good looking, as long as you have money. It's not about all of that. It's about that we decide in our heart that no matter what comes, we're going to love God. That's how you get happy in your marriage, by the way. That's how you get happy in your relationship with God. That's how you get happy with so many things, is that you make up your mind. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, "Decide this day. Tell me, who are you going to serve? If God is God, then serve him. If he's not, then don't. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If there's ever a situation that you can think of in your life where you would walk away from God, that's the very situation that'll come to your life. I want to tell you that you want to get happy with your Christian life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And make a decision that no matter what, it's not about church, it's about God. That no matter what happens, you're never going to leave him. You're never going to forsake him. Because he already said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's for somebody in here today. If you're the one that I'm waiting on financially, I'm still waiting for you. Yeah, I think it was just this past week. It might be more than one person. Kona, did you make a financial I'm just kidding. Come on, Danny, come here. See, isn't it good? God knows. It was one person out of a group of people. I mean, that's just the way that is. Is there anyone else? Because I'm about to give this word, so you want to be up here if this is for you. I want to tell you, Danny, that the Bible says this. The Bible says that if you follow the Lord your God, you can look it up in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Bible says all of these promises will come upon you, right? Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall be the work of your hands, right? Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Blessed will you be when you come in. All the work of your hands will prosper. But this is the word that the Lord said, that seed that you sow, that you planted out there, believing God that he's going to do something special and unique with that seed, and you were trusting him, and you were scared to do it, but you did it because you felt like that's what God wanted you to do. God said this, part of that thing in that passage of scripture says that your vine shall not cast its fruit. What that means is that you're not going to just see it begin to grow a little bit and then it's going to fail. You're going to see that there's going to be a fruit that's going to come upon your investment, and you're going to see it come through in a mighty, powerful, supernatural kind of a way. I want to tell you that the word of the Lord is true to you. And if you'll believe it and if you'll stand on it, no matter what it looks like up front, don't even worry about that. Because the prophet's servant went to the mountaintop and he looked out six times, nothing. And the seventh time, there was just something real small, the cloud, the size of a man's hand. And then the Bible said that he said, run, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And a supernatural act came upon the prophet to be able to get out of Dodge in time for the abundant rain to come and for the tide to change. The Lord told me that I should partner with you, and that's a seed promise, that the word of the Lord is true, that he's going to return seed and investment. He's going to give you bread to eat and seed to sow, so don't eat your seed, but sow it. If any of you out there, it would be totally appropriate if the Lord is moving on your heart. You don't have to. I'm not prodding you in any direction. I'm just saying it is appropriate in this moment, in this atmosphere. If the Lord is telling you to partner with that seed, that you can absolutely do that, and it will not be out of order in any way. It's about partnering with the anointing. I believe that the word of the Lord is true. Do you believe that the word of the Lord is true? I believe it enough to act on it. Let it come, Jesus. Let it come. See, this is part of the supernatural life. If you think we're just like way out there today, this is part of the supernatural life. I'm not doing this because it's part of a series. Listen, the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in a land of famine and reaped in that same year 100-fold. 100-fold. If you knew that you were going to get a 100-fold return on your investment, he didn't know that, by the way, but if you knew that, how would you sow? Would you sow bigger than you would have if you thought you might not get a return on your investment? I sure would. If I knew it was a guarantee that I was going to receive 100-fold, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm simply saying that God's word will not return void. That every word that is gone out will do what it was sent to do. And I'm believing God that whatever I sow today, that there will be a return, because the Bible says that in every seed that there is a harvest to be had. So when I sow according to what God wants me to do, if I sow according to what God says to do, then there will be a harvest, because as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter will remain. The earth will not remain, but his word will always remain. See, that's why you got to have your word on the inside of you. Because if you don't know that word, you won't be able to partner with that word. If you can't partner with that word, you can't benefit from that word. And that's why we need to read our Bible. We need to be in our Bible. We need to know it better than the back of our own hand, so that we can partner with God. When God says to move, we just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For those of you that are giving right now, or you've given already, and you did it because God said to give, I just feel right now that there was somebody that you gave almost out of a place of desperation, that you feel like you needed God to move. But let me make it very clear that we can't manipulate God and we can't force God to move. I'm not saying that's what you did. I'm just saying simply this, that the reason why God moves when we obey him is because of this thing called faith. It's not because of our action necessarily, it's because of faith, because we took him at his word, because we are obedient. And God's going to move in your situation, whoever you are, not because you reached out of desperation, but because you heard of the word of the Lord to you and you were obedient. That's why God's going to move. It wasn't just your seed, it was your obedience. Amen? I'm talking Bible here today, folks. So if you don't understand this, that's okay. Just understand that it's in the Bible. If you need an explanation, I'd be happy to point you to a plethora of scriptures that will help you to understand what's going on. Ha. Jesus. Let there be more than enough. Let there be rivers. God, you said that you would make rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. You know what's so awesome is it's not about the environment, is it? Because you take a desert, totally inhospitable environment. You put a river in the desert, and all of a sudden, the desert comes to life. It's not about the environment. It's about the river. Oh, somebody better get that today. It's not about the environment that you're in. It's about the river coming into your environment. By the way, the river speaks of the Holy Spirit. So we begin to live a supernatural life, even in a tough environment, and rivers in the desert start to come. If you're out there right now, you're in a tough situation, and you need God to move in that situation. You need a river in the desert. Would you stand right now? Right now, quickly, boldly. I see that. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on. I see you. Is there anybody else? You're in a tough situation. You need Jesus to move. Listen. It's time to step into another realm with God. It's time to stop just doing it naturally. You got to do the natural stuff. You got to do that. But you got to do the supernatural stuff and allow God. It's living on a new realm and a new level of yieldedness to God. God doesn't work through pride. He works through yieldedness. You ready? Let's believe God for the river to come. You know what rivers do to landscapes? Look at the large crack in Arizona. Yeah, the Grand Canyon, carved out by water in a desert. It will change your landscape. I promise you, I'm not just using allegory here. I'm telling you that the river of God coming into your life in a supernatural way will change it. And it's time to learn how to navigate that river. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I declare the supernatural river of God in every single one of these desert places. Father, that there would be rivers that bloom, that it would cause blooming in the desert. Father, I pray that the rivers would come. You said that there are rivers that do make glad the city of our God. Father, if you've called us into a desert place, then let the rivers come and let the desert come to life. Let it bloom right now in the name of Jesus. In every circumstance, in every situation, God, I pray right now for the practical partnership of each person to deal with you as they should. And God, I pray for the supernatural release of the river of God in their situation. Right here and right now, let it come. Let abundance come. Let fruit come. Let fruit come that will remain. Not just an oasis, God, a river in the desert. I thank you for it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Those of you that are standing, you can go ahead and sit. I want to tell you right now that God's going to begin to speak to you about what you ought to do. Can I tell you that one of the things that God's going to tell you that you should do is change. Change. It's not easy. It's difficult. Can I just tell you, we're just following the Holy Spirit. I hope that you're all right. You ought to be getting a whole lot out of this right now. By the way, the Bible says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, but they're foolishness to him. So if this is foolish to you, don't worry about it. Hopefully we're recording it and you can get it. But get into a place where you can hear in your spirit and it'll start to come alive to you. I'm talking right out of the Spirit of God. The Bible says the words that Jesus spoke, they were spirit and they were life. It's important that we receive those things in our heart. Why? I don't know. I'm not special. My words are not special, but God's word will not fall to the ground. God's word won't return void. And I am not a false prophet. I know that much. So I'm telling you that the word of the Lord to you is true. And if you'll grab a hold of it, it is so important. You know, yesterday I had a call. I'm still speaking prophetically, so grab onto it. Yesterday, I had a call with Dr. Mark Sherwood, and their company did a DNA testing result for me, and they were talking with me about the next steps that I should take. And you, by looking at me, you might not understand this, and you might not even believe it, but my genetics say that I have the genetic markers to be able to have type 2 diabetes, to have coronary problems and heart disease, to have excess belly fat and excess back fat. I choose to not turn those genes on in my life. I choose to not live that way. But I have the genetics for it. Isn't that crazy? I have genetics for that stuff. I have genetics for all kinds of stuff that were not wonderful to me. One of the things that I had genetics for is to have elevated levels of cholesterol, not good cholesterol, tiny particles of cholesterol. And when Dr. Mark began to tell me this, and he told me, you know, one of the first things that you should do is that you should get a broad spectrum blood work done. And you know what my immediate response to that was in my heart, and I recognized it, was fear. And the second response to that, because I had fear, was I don't want to do it. I don't want to know. If I have that problem, I don't even want to know. I just want to go on blissfully living in ignorance that I'm healthy because I look okay to me in the mirror, you know? I look okay, in my opinion. I was like, Dr. Mark, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to know. But you know, the funny thing is that when you've got a bill that's due that you just stick in the drawer and you don't look at, it doesn't go away, does it? I don't know if you've ever done that, but I have. If I don't look at it, I don't have to pay it. That's not the truth, is it? And so, you know what? Here's my next question. If I get this stuff done, and I find out that the results are not what I'd like them to be, by the way, that is in perfect health. If I get the results back and I'm not in perfect health, according to the panel, can I change it? He said, absolutely. Absolutely, you can change it. And let me add on, you can change it quickly. What am I saying to you today? We all have an area or areas in our life that we don't want to look at. I don't even want to know. And I'm just going to shove it in the top drawer and I'm going to close it, because if I don't look at it, the bill doesn't come due. Wrong. Bills due. Can I just tell you, I'm not looking forward to it. You know what they told me? They told me that I shouldn't eat red meat. Now, if you know me at all, I mean, I'm excited because bacon's not bread. If you know me at all, you know that I enjoy red meat. And I eat the good one, you know, the grass-fed one with the right kinds of fats. He's like, doesn't matter. You shouldn't be eating that. So you know what that means for me? The things that I like, the things that I would dare even say that I crave, oh, because that's one of the other things in my genetics, that I don't make that much dopamine. That's the feel-good chemical in your brain. So people like myself tend to get into addictive behaviors and tend to comfort eat. I look like a comfort eater, don't I? Oreos and bacon comfort me. But thy rod and thy staff should comfort me. And you know, there's nothing quite like a big, fat, juicy steak to give me a dopamine response. But you know what? He said, you can get your dopamine another way. We can get your body to produce what you need so that you're not looking for the things that are bad for you. Oh, get that. That is so important. You need to get what you need so that you're not looking for the things that are going to kill you but make you feel good. Ooh. I'm just telling you this because I'm about to make some serious changes. My poor kids, they're going to follow along. You know why they're going to follow along? Because they got a 50% chance that they got my DNA. And you know what? It's going to be good for them. And I'm going to set them up for health for their entire life. I'm going to set an example for them of change. And it doesn't matter what you look like in the mirror. It doesn't matter what you look like in the spiritual mirror. It might not even matter how good you look in worship. You might have the perfect worship position, whatever that might be, straight elbows, fingers together, or just slightly parted with the pinky separated at the right angle. You know, the Jesus position on the cross, whatever. Hands on your heart, whatever that perfect position is. It might not matter what you look like on the outside, what's happening on the inside. I believe that God is calling us to a place of change. I'm speaking prophetically now. Why is Brother David Hogan coming? Because we need a catalyst for change. We need a catalyst to step into a new realm of the supernatural lifestyle with God. Not necessarily spectacular, but supernatural. I pray that one of the greatest things that we would be known for in this church is that we will not adhere to and hold on to things so tightly that we're not willing to change. You know, you can't hold on to your past and your future at the same time. You've got to let go of one in order to have the other. And if we choose to hold on to our past, we can't have our future. And if we choose to hold on to our future, we cannot hold on to the past. I want to tell you this morning that I've said probably more in these last few minutes than you could ever get out of a great sermon, because it's the Holy Ghost preaching to you. I pray that you'll let these words sink into your heart and into your soul, and that you won't be disappointed if the sermon's a little bit shorter today because of it. This is where the rubber meets the road, where the supernatural meets the natural. What's a miracle? It's simply this. It's taking an invisible God and bringing him into the realm of the visible. This is God talking to us so that we can make radical shifts in our life so we don't have to end up where the road takes us, wherever that might lead. Can you say amen to that today? Amen. Did you receive something? Did you get something out of that today? Amen. As we transition, would you turn your attention to our screens where you can get some announcements for this week? Go ahead and have your seats. We're going to go ahead and release the teachers for the kids' classes. We know you've got a little bit of a shorter class today, but hopefully your students were well impacted by the presence of the Lord. You know, the reason why we keep the kids in during worship and all of that stuff, and we're so thankful for flexible teachers, is because we don't want the kids to miss out on the move of the Spirit of God in worship and in praise and in the prophetic and all of that. We don't want them to miss out on that. So we keep them in as long as we possibly can. And then they're going to learn the word of the Lord at their own level. So Lord, we pray that you bless them, that you bless the teachers, give them phenomenal ability to communicate your word into the hearts of these young ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we get into something really super cool, I just want to give you a couple of things real quick for these Hogan meetings. Number one, I hope that every one of you is going to be there at every meeting. I know that might seem like a lot to ask. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You should be there. Why? Because God's going to be there. Why? Because there's something there that you need. You might not think that there's anything that there that you need, but you won't know that you need it until you see it. Just like every time I go into 511 Tactical, I didn't know that I needed that until I saw it, and then I needed it. You know what I'm saying? When you get into the presence of God, you're going to find out there's stuff that you need that you didn't even know that you needed, but you're going to be able to get it because you were there. Don't be the missing ingredient in your miracle. Can I hear an amen to that? Second thing is, when you come to those meetings, please be aware that we are going to take up offerings at every single one of those meetings. But praise God, you've been following the biblical pattern that God has set out for you, and you have a giving account. You have a festival account, a festival tithe that you've been setting on the side. And it's not going to cost you. It's not going to steal from your mortgage or anything like that. You're going to be able to give extravagantly as the Lord would lead you to give. By the way, your festival tithe is also set on the side there so that if you want to go out to dinner afterwards or something, it takes care of that. If you want to bless somebody else with some food, it's set aside for that. To be able to give above and beyond what you would normally give, that's what it's for. I want to just give you a quick pastoring point. When we give in the offerings at these meetings, it's not meant to take from your tithe or from your normal church offering in order to switch over. I'm not telling you that because I need your money. That's not why I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that because this is the biblical pattern. You want biblical results, you got to do things biblically. And the way to do that is to give out of your festival tithe and not to take from one column and shift it over. It's not a reallocation of finances. It is an additional special offering that you have prepared for because God told you how to do it. And you're not even going to hurt because of it. And so I want to encourage you, come prepared. Don't be like my relative who tried to leave his money at home and then think that God wouldn't ask him for his money. God knows where you live. God knows that there's push pay. He's like, when you get home, just make sure you send it in electronically because I know how it works. Push the button, right? Don't think that you can outsmart God. Come with a willing heart to give as the Lord leads. We don't want you to give anything that God doesn't say to give, but we want you to give everything that God says to give. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I believe that this is going to be a powerful time. If you guys have never been around Brother David Hogan, one of the things that you may choose to do is you may choose to bring prayer cloths or whatever you want to call it, handkerchiefs, articles of clothing, bed sheets. I mean, I don't care what you bring. A lot of people will just come throw them on the platform. Why? Because the Bible says that special miracles happened by the hands of Paul, that there were pieces of clothing that were taken from his body that were in contact with him. And when those pieces of clothing or articles of cloth came into contact with people, if they had devils in them, demon spirits, the demon spirits came out of them. People were healed when those cloths touched their body. Hey, look, I didn't make this up. I know that sounds kind of weird. I'm human. That sounds weird to me. But you know what? I trust God more than I trust my doubt. And so, you know what? I'm going to bring some prayer cloths. You can get them real cheap at Walmart. Just go in there, grab a bunch of handkerchiefs. They're like a dollar a piece. Go grab a whole bunch, clear them out, and bring them. If you know somebody that's got cancer, if you know somebody that's got some kind of a disease, somebody that won't come, even if you ask them to come, or maybe they can't come, you got somebody in the hospital, go take a prayer cloth for them. Stick it in their pillowcase. Get it on them, you know, and who knows? Maybe God will do a special miracle for them. It's worth a shot. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't hurt anybody to touch a handkerchief unless somebody blew their nose in it. All right, you guys good? All right. We've got something amazing for you guys, and I'm not going to have much time to preach today, but that's all right. There are three people. See, we're talking about the supernatural life. And in order to talk about the spiritual life, the supernatural life, I want to have three people come to talk to you about something supernatural. Say supernatural. Something supernatural that happened to them a few weeks ago. You guys might recall that there was a Sunday where we pretty much didn't have preaching. It was just that we ministered to a whole bunch of people that were struggling with things like suicidal thoughts and suicidal tendencies, and that they were under a cloud of depression and stuff. And we ministered to people and we prayed for them, and we kind of scrapped the rest of the service. Why? Because God wanted that more than he wanted me to preach. And we're okay with that in this church. But you got to know that when we do those things, something happens. Something happens. Say, something happens. It's weird when you come into contact with God and nothing happens. When you come into contact with God, something ought to happen. And if you're not in that kind of a church, get out that church. Get into a church when God is there and something happens. That's an alive church. That's a living church with a living God. And so to just give you some quick testimony about what happened to them on that Sunday, we've got three people, three that I know of anyway, that had something significant happen to them, and I want them to tell you in their own words what happened to them. Would you please be nice to them? Smile at them? Be aggressively friendly toward them, because it's going to be a new experience for them coming up here to share their hearts with you. Would you please, first of all, give a huge welcome to Douglas Roche as he comes to share his testimony with you.
Okay, I have been a member of the ARC for the past 15 years. I got saved at 3 years old. I'm currently 17. I was baptized at 9, and I consider myself among the lucky few who do not remember what it's like to be unsaved. So, for the past few months, I was struggling with, like, random thoughts of sadness, thoughts of depression. Not serious, but not pleasant either. So, when Pastor Jake made the altar call, at first, I didn't think I was going to go up. But then, for the first time in my life, I heard the audible voice of God. And it was, I could tell it was God's voice because it wasn't like any human's voice. It was, the best way for me to describe it is like a chorus of voices all at the same time. So that was very cool, and it made me very nervous. So I went up, and when Pastor Jake and Pastor Russ laid their hands on me, I felt like, it felt like weights were lifting off every part of my body. And people like Pastor Julie Jr., a few of my friends, came and gave me a word of kindness. And again, it felt like weights lifting off. I am glad to say that the thoughts of sadness and depression have completely ceased. I've not thought about anything like that recently. And I asked Pastor Jake if I could do this, but I heard the voice of God again this Sunday. Basically, what happened was I woke up and my throat was really sore. And so when worship started, I wasn't planning on singing at all because my voice was really sore. But God told me to sing. And now my voice is fine. Just a little itchy. So thank you.
Oh, that was awesome. Great job, man.
Woo!
Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Man, God is alive in teenagers' lives. You know that, right? Those of you that got teenagers or pre-teenagers, man, you better believe that God's going to be real in your teenager's life. Let me tell you that right now. I just want to invite the next person to come up. Would you please give a huge, warm welcome for Taylor Nakamura as she just comes to share what God did in her life? Oh, freshly graduated Taylor Nakamura.
Forgive me if I'm a bit disorganized. I just got a text last night and Pastor Jolie asked me to do this. So, and also I'm going to be reading this verbatim. So, hello everyone. My name is Taylor and I'm a member here at the Ark Christian Church. And today I'm going to be sharing with you a hopefully quick testimony on how I was set free from mental illnesses. None of this was by my power, but this is all 100% God. And all of the glory will be going to Him. So a quick backstory about my life. I have been coming to the Ark ever since I was around 4 years old. And we have rarely missed the Sunday service unless we went on vacation. My parents have given their life to Christ for the first few services that they came and quickly grew hungry for the Lord. I watched as they devoted their lives to serve Him and took every chance they got to learn more and more about the Bible, which included bringing me and my brother to any meetings we were allowed to go to get the Word of God in us. I don't remember at the exact age, but maybe around 5 or 6 years old, I gave my life to Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit and started to speak in tongues. I remember ministering to my kindergarten classmates about church and Jesus for weeks after that and constantly trying to get them to come to church. Unfortunately, fast forward about 5 years when I'm 10 years old, I started walking away from the Lord and lost that fire in me. I started wanting to be like other girls, living their worldly lives. My life started to become a routine, and God was not a big part of it. Sorry. I don't really remember what happened when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, but I do remember becoming increasingly confused on who I was. I started looking for purposes in other things, but even after that, I was left empty. The only thing that kept me going was that I really wanted to graduate from homeschooling, but I had no plans for my life after that. I lost my purpose and quickly became depressed. It was like a massive cloud. Sorry. It was like a massive cloud was constantly over my head and eventually got to a point where I couldn't even smile or laugh anymore. Everything was forced and I became pessimistic about my life. My parents have always told me that I can be completely transparent to them, or if I felt like I couldn't talk to them, to talk to our pastors. Help, but even then I refused because of my pride. I was too embarrassed to talk about what I was going through because I thought that they would be ashamed of their daughter and that they wouldn't love me anymore. Going into sophomore year was the hardest. Things got increasingly worse as I seriously started contemplating suicide. I would cut, scratch, and starve myself or do anything to physically harm because I saw it as a distraction from what I was constantly feeling. And eventually, I wasn't even sure if I was going to see myself graduate. I remember crying myself to sleep some nights out of frustration because I just couldn't get past this. Some mornings, it took all my strength just to get out of bed. Things got to a point where I just couldn't handle. another day, so I tried to take my own life on two separate occasions, and God spared me on both times. Fast forward again a few months later, out of pure frustration, I cried out to God, thinking to myself, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're real, but why are you not real in my life? I came to the end of myself, and I just didn't know what to do next. And then, a few weeks ago, Pastor Jake, in the middle of worship, said he had a word from the Holy Spirit and that wanting to break the chains of depression and suicide off of any teen who is struggling. I remember so clearly that I wasn't going to go. That I wasn't going to go up because I was serving in the AV and I was going to use that as my excuse. But then Pastor Jake said he would wait the entire service for that one person. And knowing him, he was dead serious. So I went up. I was at the end of myself and I was just thinking, what have I got to lose? I was tired of fighting and struggling, and walking up to the stage, I surrendered to God. At that moment, it felt like a piece of weight I've been carrying around for years slid off of me. Pastor Jake and Pastor Ed both shared with us that we are loved and that we mean something to the body of Christ. I rededicated my life to God, and as we were being prayed over, I felt peace in my heart and mind for the first time in years. Life no longer felt like a burden, but rather a privilege. I was completely free from depression and completely free from being suicidal. All glory goes to God. It's through him that all things are possible. And because of him, the next day I started my very first day of work at my very first job. And this past Thursday, I finally graduated from home school. I would like to close with this one scripture, Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you.
That's why I'm not messing around when I say I'm going to wait. Because I know that if that's what it takes for someone's life to be radically changed, I'm willing. Amen. I'm willing. I'm willing to inconvenience everybody on the planet for someone's life to be changed. I'm willing to look like a fool if nobody comes up, but I know that I know that I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, we're talking about living the supernatural life, and that's part of it, is understanding the reality of God. The natural cannot do that. It might take pills, and it might take counselors, and it might take all kinds of, it might take a 12-step program, but you get in the presence of God, and it's a one-step program. Jesus is the name of that step. And I'm telling you that Jesus is real. God, if God can change somebody's life like that in a moment, like Douglas's life, like Taylor's life in a moment, he can change my life in a moment. I'm not done yet. I need God to still work on me. He's not done with you yet. And God is moving. You have to understand that God is moving in this house. Why do you want to bring people to church? Because God is in this place. That's why. We have one more person, one more teenager that's going to share with you about what God did in her life. And so would you please give a huge welcome to our very teenage friend, Jill, as she comes to just share what the Lord has done for her. Come on. You got to get in on the promises of God. Again, here's Jill.
Good morning. I wrote something down too because I knew I was going to be emotional. So, I had a great childhood. I grew up on a farm. I had great parents. My first suicidal attempt was in 2001 when I walked into the Gulf of Mexico, and I was hoping just to never walk out. And I walked out angrier than I knew was even possible. My second attempt was in 2005 when I tried to hang myself from playground equipment. And I just ended up dehydrated. And in 2014, I tried to walk into oncoming traffic, and they stopped and offered me help. I came to the Ark this summer for the first time because I was invited. I was invited to come. Chris Valianos invited me to come. And I've been coming every Sunday except for some, you know, like Eva had a cello concert or we were in Cali. But I've been coming every Sunday since. And immediately on arriving in this family of love, I was changed. Amen. I was changed. It first came with the call from Pastor Jake for my heart. And it started in my heart. Yes. Because courage and obedience has changed me. It was the family camp. And it said, everybody's going to the family camp. And you guys know, because you all know what that is. So everybody's like, yeah. And my husband said, oh, I want to go. And I said, oh, no. I have to work. I have to work. I cannot go. My daughter said, oh, I want to go. I said, no, we're not going. I'm not going. Wednesday at my job, my boss said, you have the weekend off because somebody paid for you for family camp. I said, ah. My anxiety went through the roof. Thursday, my anxiety. Friday, I was suicidal. I don't know why. I can't explain to you why family camp made me suicidal, other than I didn't feel worthy to be in the presence with you people. Like that. Sunday, I can pretend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I can't. Pretend that I'm normal, or that I'm okay, or that I'm good enough to be here with you. Friday night, my daughter says, we never go. We never go anywhere because this happens. I hate to disappoint my children. It's the only reason why I'm still alive. And God, of course. God won't. God's not done with me yet. So I tried to rally. My husband's circling the block with the car, saying, are you getting in? Are we going? Are you getting in? Are we going? I don't know how I packed, but I came. I was embarrassed. I hid a lot. But I was there. Yes. Sunday morning, I wrote on the paper, I have suicidal thoughts. I actually admitted it. I actually admitted it, and I wrote it down. And it started leaving me that day. Amen. That day, Sarah came to me. Sarah came to me. Michelle spoke. Pastor Jake spoke. That day, it started to leave me. And it's gone. Yes. And it's gone. I'm connected in my Connect group. And I went to the ladies in my Connect group. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to be. I still don't know. So please pray for me. I don't know who to be that... the person that's not suicidal anymore, I don't know. I've been suicidal for 18 years. And I don't know how to be normal, but I'm working on it. Yes. My husband doesn't know how to deal with me. He's only known me suicidal. But, well, we have God. And God is here. And I went to my boss, Chris, and I told him, if you hadn't invited me, I wouldn't have come. And if I hadn't come, I wouldn't have been broken free from that. Please invite people. Yes. Please invite people.
Wow. Before Jill sits down, I just want to share something that, you know, the Lord spoke to me the first time that they came, and I shared it with them, but, you know, I don't know if she remembers, but, you know, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Why was there a volcano eruption on the Big Island of Hawaii that destroyed so many homes. And when they came to church and I asked them why they came, you know what the reason was? Because their home was destroyed by lava. Okay? I said, see, God would destroy an entire island if he needed to, just for you to be able to come and get and be touched by him. You know, and it didn't last much longer than after they came. You know, it lasted long enough so they couldn't go back. Yeah? Amen. But I just wanted to share that God, you know, everything that is happening, whether it seems bad to you or good to you, God will use it to bring you good things and bring you into a place of goodness. Amen.
And this is why your testimony is important. Bet you didn't know all that happened that Sunday. But you need to know. And you need to know that God is here in this house, in this church, doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. Why would you invite somebody? Because their life could be radically changed forever. Because God is in this place. I want to give you like a money back guarantee. You come into the presence of God. You bring anybody into the presence of God, week in and week out. And if their life is not changed radically by God, they can have their old life back. Guaranteed. You can go right back to your old life. But if God changes your life, when you do what he says to do, God will change your life. God is, it's not, you notice that it wasn't a church service that changed their life. It's God that changed their life. It's God that changed my life. It's God that changed so many different people's lives in so many different ways. Please, thank you, Jill, for saying that. Please invite people to come. Why? Because their life will never be the same again when they meet a loving God that will go to any extent to change them into the person that he wants them to be. Today, just because of the group that we have here today, I know you guys, and I know that I won't be offending any guests here today if we do this, but I want to ask you, if you would allow me to go for a half an hour. It's shorter than what I had planned, but I feel like you have to understand a couple of things about the supernatural life. Can I say also that if you do need to leave, I understand our schedules are busy. I understand that we're scheduled to go until noon, and so if you need to leave, I want to respect that, honor that, and release you right at noon. You can just get up and go, and I won't be offended like you don't like me or anything like that. If you don't like me, you'll have to tell me that you don't like me so that I know that, because otherwise I'll just assume that you needed to go. But I'm gonna try to do it even in less than in half an hour if I can. But I want to talk to you about the supernatural life. Last week, we gave an introduction to the supernatural life, and I want to continue on because this stuff is going to set you up for success for the meetings that we're having coming up, as well as you continue on living your life according to what God has for you. I want to bring out some practical things really quickly, because so many people think that the supernatural life is actually impractical. Can I just say that the supernatural life is the most practical thing, the most practical life that you could ever live? Why? What is practical? Practical is something that actually makes a difference. Am I right? If it doesn't make a difference, it's not practical at all. It doesn't even matter. You can have all the theories that you want to about everything, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. Supernaturality is your calling, it is your design, it is your destiny, and not only that, but it will change your world. Amen. I want to talk to you about some practical things about the supernatural life. First of all, the purpose of living a supernatural life is threefold, as far as I can see. At least these three things, maybe not limited to, but at least including these three things. Number one, We cannot live God's designed plan for our life without living supernaturally. God's plans, they're supernatural. So if God's plans are supernatural, you can't get there by natural means. Just like you can't even really get to California without some help. Right? I mean, it's a long swim. And you're not going to make it without some help. You need a plane. You need a boat. You need a companion. You need some help just to get to California. If you cannot get to California on your own from Hawaii, how are you going to get to God's destiny for your life without any help? Amen. We need help. That means that we need to live supernaturally. Number two, the purpose of living the supernatural life is this. We are not meant to live according to listen to what life throws our way. We are meant to live supernaturally and to change the very atmosphere and situations that life deals out. I mean, I could go through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, but when a storm was thrown Jesus' way, he didn't just say, oh, well, a storm. Suck it up, buttercup. He didn't say that. He got up and he said, peace, be still. Amen. He changed the very atmosphere. I don't know if you know this about you, but you are meant to be an atmosphere changer. You're meant to be somebody that affects the atmosphere and the situation that you walk into. You're not meant to just simply be affected by. You're meant to affect and change. You are not, as somebody once said so eloquently, you're not meant to be a thermometer. You're meant to be a thermostat. You're not meant to reflect the temperature. You're meant to set the temperature. Amen? You're not meant to just take what life throws at you. You're meant to change it into God's way. You can find that all the way back in the book of Genesis, that God's plan, God's commandment, really, to Adam and Eve was not to just submit to the world. He said to have dominion over it. Yeah. Amen. By the way, he never rescinded that, so it's still in effect today. Right. Number three, the purpose of the supernatural life is this. We cannot make a world-changing difference if we are exactly the same as those around us. You know why Jill's life, why Taylor's life, why Douglas's life is the way that it is today that you heard about? Because I'm not the same as everybody else. I'm weird. I heard that strong amen from the front row. I'm not of this earth. I'm a stranger in this world. But I'm only weird because I'm not the same species as everybody else. I don't have gills or anything like that. I'm just a God kind of man. The Bible says live with the God kind of faith. Normal puny faith, I don't want that. I want the God kind of faith. And when you live according to the God kind of faith, you know what happens? The impossible becomes possible. The things that are not possible with man become possible with God. And when you can see that anything is possible, you don't have this framework of doubt around your life. You have this framework of possibility. Amen. That's weird. Yes. Most people are so familiar with what they cannot do. How many of you are familiar with what you cannot do? Forget that. Why? Because with men it's impossible, but not with God. With God it's possible. Forget what you cannot do. Do what you can't do. That's what the whole thing. One man cannot save the world. Or wait a minute. Can he? You see, your life is meant to make a difference. And the things that you can't do, you've just learned that by experience. But your experience was wrong. I had a bad experience with lobster once. It was a really good restaurant. Bad experience with lobster. But you know what? Lobster is actually delicious. Don't judge your future by your past experience. You've got a better future than your past. It's time to make a change. Jill, how do you live in this new world without all those things? Those 18 years that you knew as life? Anyone who's in Christ is a brand new creation. Old things are dead and gone. Behold, all things are become new. How do you start? You just start. And you figure it out as you go along. And you just listen to the GPS directions that Jesus gives you along the way. Turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. Make a U-turn. Keep on going. Follow the speed limit sign. You'll get to your destination. I promise you that. Let me give you a quick recap from what we talked about a little bit last week. Number one, what is natural and normal for one species is weird, strange, or abnormal for another. For a fish to breathe air is abnormal. For a dolphin to breathe air, normal. Different species, different strokes for different folks. When you are a child of God, you are a different species than a child of the devil. I promise you that much. So what you do is normal according to God. The supernatural life is normal for a Christian. The natural life is abnormal for a Christian. It should be anyway. Number two, the supernatural life does not always look spectacular. It's not always fireworks and all that stuff. It might just be a simple word. God has a plan for your life. And boom, that thing goes off like dynamite in your spirit. It just looks so natural. Jesus asked questions that were so natural, and yet they were supernatural in their origin and in their effect. The supernatural doesn't always look spectacular, but it sure is supernatural. Number three, you don't have to be weird to be supernatural, but you sure do have to be yielded. And I have way more respect for someone that looks weird, that's yielded to God, than someone that looks all put together and is suffering from a malignancy called pride. Yeah, right. You'll have to listen through this stuff. This stuff is like packed with what I'm saying. The next one that I've got written down here is humility is agreeing. God doesn't work through pride, but works through humility. Humility is agreeing with and submitting to what God and who God says that you are. If God says that you're the head and not the tail, then you're the head and not the tail. If God said that yellow was green, guess what? Yellow would be green. When God said, let there be light, there was light. He's like, yes, sir. There was nothing, and then there was something. When God speaks, it changes your whole world. It's not about who everyone else says that you are. It's about who God says that you are. And when you buy into that and when you submit to that, no matter how great, no matter how big of a pedestal God might choose to put you on, that, my friend, is true humility. Submitting to who and what God says that you are. I want to give you one last one that really wasn't in my notes until this morning. But every believer, say every believer. How many of you would fall into that category of every believer? One of them, yeah. Well, check this out. Every believer is meant to live supernaturally. You want a quote for that? Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, and those who believe in my name shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, it will not harm them. They will heal the sick. They will speak with new tongues, and they will cast out devils. All those things, if you are simply a believer. You notice you don't have to be elite. You don't have to be special forces Christian. You just have to be a Christian. You just have to be a believer. If you believe in the name of Jesus, if you believe that he is the Lord of your life, if you submit to what it is that he called you to be, you will live a supernatural life. Why live a normal life when you can live a supernatural life? That's like a friend of mine years ago, somebody offered them and they said, pick a car, any car, I'll buy it for you. Okay, now, let that sink in for just a moment. Pick a car, any car, and I'll buy it for you. Not that there's anything wrong with a Toyota Corolla, but that's what he picked. Now, he might not have been much of a car guy, but Google will help you to find out that there are other cars that may suit your panache a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? If somebody comes to me and says, I will buy you any car that you want to. Oh, I've got a list. I'll start at number one and work my way down. Is this one all right? Is this one all right? Is this one all right? Why do you want that car? Don't even worry about it. I just want that car. I would not pick a Toyota Corolla. Not that there's anything wrong with one. It's just that if there is more available, then why not have more? Can I tell you that there's more available in God? Why settle for the dregs when you can have the cream? Why settle? Why settle for low-fat ice cream when you can have Black Sheep Creamery? You know what I'm talking about? Why put non-dairy creamer in your thing when you can drink it with heavy cream? Right? Why not have more? If there's more and there is more, why not have more? Can I tell you that your life is meant for more than this? I've got to go quickly, but let me give you two things today. The first thing, the supernatural life is a hungry life. How many of you fast with us every once in a while? Then you know what I'm talking about. It's a hungry life. It's a at noon breaking out the sandwich in the middle of service, hungry life. The hungry life, I mean, you're just hungry. You're looking for something. I don't know what I want, but I want everything. The supernatural life is a hungry life. Check this out, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And I'm going to go really quick, so you're going to have to just follow along as best you can. In the Amplified version of the Bible, it says this, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. Let me pause right there. How many of you would like to be described that way? Amen. Blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous? Yeah, sign me up. In that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's uprightness and right standing with God. Listen, for they shall be mildly okay. No, they shall be completely satisfied. You ever been completely satisfied? If so, you are easily satisfied. I mean, I don't care what you got there. It could be better. I mean, the tomahawk ribeye that you just finished polishing off, it could have been better. I'm just telling you, it could have been better. It might have been awesome, but it could have been better. Do you understand that God says that I am able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine? Baby, I got a wild imagination. And God's able to do exceeding abundantly above that. Woo! That means it's about to get pretty awesome up in here. Completely satisfied. How do you do that? Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst begets complete satisfaction. Amen. Oh, you got to get that in your heart. Not a mild, like, you know, meh. You know the meh emoji? Don't be a meh Christian. Don't be that guy. Be the hungry, thirsty, desirous Christian. You know why? Because then blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous are they who do hunger and thirst, for they shall be completely satisfied. Man, that's awesome. If you're going to do one thing today, get hungry. Get hungry for God. Check this out. Psalm 42:2 says this, my soul thirsts for God. You ever been thirsty? I mean really thirsty. If you've never been thirsty, try fasting from water. Try fasting from liquid completely. My son's like, oh Lord, I can fast from water? Hallelujah. No, I mean try fasting from liquid completely. Watch Naked and Afraid for a little bit. You'll find out when they don't have water, things go all kinds of funny. But I hunger and I thirst. My soul thirsts for God. When you get thirsty, man, I'm telling you, there are some things that just will not satisfy. Fanta orange soda will not satisfy. In fact, it makes you more thirsty probably. It's like, flush this thing out of me. You start thirsting for water. You start looking for water. In fact, you start getting hungry. If you didn't know this, when you're thirsty, you start getting hungry. Why? Because your body knows that there's a certain quantity of water contained in your food. So it's like, yo, I'm hungry. No, baby, you just dehydrated. You got to get some water on the inside of you. My soul thirsts for God. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me. You got to start seeking God. And when you search for me with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your heart, how much is all? That's not the majority. That's not 51%. It is all. Every part, every parcel, every fiber of our being searching after God, that's how you find him. You wonder why sometimes God seems so far away? Look at the percentage of your heart that's seeking him. If he's an afterthought, you're an afterthought. You know what I'm saying? Let's get hungry for God. Okay, you guys ready? I'm about to blow your mind, punch you right between the eyes. Throat chop action. You ready? Amen. Get ready to disagree with me if you want to in your heart. I'm just going to prove you that you're wrong. It is okay to always be in church and to love it. If God is in the house. It is all right. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you got to go to church so much. Hey, look, listen. Listen, back it up, Jack. It is okay to be in church as much as you want to be in church and love it. As long as God is there. Why? Because my soul thirsts for God. I'm hungry and desperate for God. Listen, remember, whatever is natural and normal for one species is abnormal for another one. The natural man is like, how can I get me out of here? How can I finish up this religious duty and hightail it on out? Everybody else is like, preach. Paul preached until the sun came up, or Peter, whoever it was, one of them P guys. Preach until the sun came up. Somebody fell out the window and died in the middle of the sermon. He just kept going. It's all right to be desperate for God. Don't let people like drill you down and be like, you shouldn't be in church so much. Why not? You shouldn't be around the God of the universe so much. You shouldn't love him so much. Just love him a little bit. That's enough. Come on. I think. Personal opinion insertion at this point. It is really strange for Christians to look for excuses to not be in the house of God. Yeah. I think it's really weird, man. Like, why don't you want to be in the house of God? When there's an opportunity to be in the house of God and you're like, oh, I think I got something. I feel something coming on. I'm sick. I can't come to the house of God. Look, that's where healing is, you baboos. Come to the house of God and get healed. I'm too depressed to be in the house of God. Get healed from depression in the presence of God. And I don't mean to make light of this. I'm simply saying, if that's where healing is, why won't you go to the place of healing? I'm too sick to go to the hospital. What? That doesn't make any sense. We don't do it with the hospital. Why do we do it with God? Yeah. I think it's weird for Christian to make excuses. I have too much sin in my life. I can't come to church. If you didn't know, God is the forgiver of sins. Amen. All of them. Yeah. Everyone. I think that we should just be in the house of God. That's what I think. Listen, the church is Christ's body, and Christ is the head of the church. You know this. The church is Christ's body, and Christ is the head of the church, right? You cannot only, think about it, married people, you cannot only love the head and hate the body. I'm being real. We cannot only love the head and not the rest of the body. Well, I love God, I just don't love his church. Come on. The body of Christ is the church. We need to love them both. I got imperfections. My poor wife, when she has to see me naked, I got imperfections, you know. And she's got to see that. I don't have to see it. I don't have to see the backside because I can't see that. That's why the Lord put my eyes on the front of my face. See, other people can see your 360-degree faults, can't they? But you can only see what's in front of your face. And that's why if you put on a little bit of weight back there, you don't know it. But it's there. And other people are like, why? Look, Jesus wants us to be whole and healthy, and he sees all our stuff. Amen. Our stuff. That's me too. And you know what? He doesn't care. That's what I love about my wife. She sees it and she doesn't
care. Praise God. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's affecting her eyesight. I'm okay with that. I mean, the Lord tweaked people's ears in the book of Acts. All these guys in the upper room were speaking in tongues, but they all heard him in their own language. He messed with their ears. He messed with their software. I'm going to believe God that the Lord will mess with my wife's software every day for the rest of our lives so that she finds me attractive every day for the rest of our lives. Even if it's not true, Lord, mess with her in Jesus' name. John chapter 2, verse 17, listen, about being in the house of God, this is what the Bible says. Then his disciples remembered about Jesus. By the way, this is when Jesus got all a little bit uppity and beat people with a whip right out of the temple. By the way, if you didn't know the chronological order of events, this is the second thing that he did right after his miracle of turning water into wine in Cana. Before his second miracle, he beat people. Threw them out. And then it says, then his disciples remembered after seeing that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. It's consumed me. I can't stand to see these people doing this stuff in the house of God. I'm a little bit animated because I feel like that. The zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten me up. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be there. I want to be there all the time. I don't want to cut back activities so that people are like, oh, I only got a certain amount of time each week. I want to do more stuff so that I could be around God even more with all of you guys because I prefer being in the presence of God with y'all rather than just by myself. Psalm 84:10 in the Amplified version of the Bible says this, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I think that we've gotten it backwards, that many of us, to be really true, to be really like really true, we would say it this way, I'd rather be on vacation for 3 years than be in the house of God for one day. If I had the choice, listen, do the math. 1,000 days is almost 3 years. If you could be on vacation and wherever, pick your favorite vacation spot. And there's nothing wrong with vacation. I'm just saying that if we would rather be on vacation than be in the house of God, maybe we need to reevaluate our value. For a day in his courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Psalm chapter 122, verse 1. I love this. I was glad. Say, I was glad. You know what that means? I was happy. That means I was joyful. That means it was good news to my ears. I was glad when they said to me, come, let us go to the house of God. Some Christians, they're like, I was sad when they said to me, we have a 3-day meeting coming up. Because then I got to find 2 more excuses to not show up. I'm not, you know, if this is a little too close to home, I'm not sorry. I was glad when they said to me, I was glad when my kids said to me, let's go to the house of God. I was glad when my wife said to me, let's go to the house of God. I'm glad when Sunday rolls around. Man, I love Sundays. Amen. The supernatural life is not balanced in the same way that average natural life is balanced. Think about it. Balanced is all about God's way. For those of you that are a little bit Bible scholarly, think back to when they put the Ark of the Covenant onto an ox cart, which they should not have done. It should have been carried. And they were going over a bumpy road, and the Ark of the Covenant, listen, that's the place where God's manifest presence was like inside the box, right? So they were going over a bumpy road, and it looked to this dude that it was going to fall off the cart. So he stretches out his hand to steady and add balance to God. And you know what happens to the dude? He dropped down dead. God doesn't need our help to balance him out. God's pretty darn balanced all by himself. And you know, the funny thing is that when you see him, it may not be balanced the way that you think that God is balanced. God doesn't say, Make sure that you allocate enough time for everything in your life and make sure that you give me only the quantity that makes sense. That is totally not what God said. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 6:31, and we're not going to get to point number two today, because I want to honor your time, so I'm going to land this plane. Matthew 6:31 through 33, listen. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things, the Gentiles, that means not Christians, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows you got needs, but seek first. Wait, God knows you have all these needs, but God knows you have all these needs, but. In other words, God knows you have all these needs, but I don't care. I've probably said this in really a bad way to my wife, probably. I know you want me to do this, but I know that you want me to, but I don't care. The only difference is that God's right and I was wrong, you know? So here's the thing. But I know you have all these needs, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what these things? These things that I already know you got need for, all these things will be added to you. You know, if we would actually believe that scripture, I'm telling you, we need to be believers. Yeah. If anybody should be a believer, our friend says, it ought to be a believer. If anyone's a believer, it should be a believer. Should we not believe this scripture because it doesn't make sense to our natural mind? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. The mind of the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, but they are foolishness to him. God knows everything that we have need of, but seek first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say don't seek anything else. Seek first. How first? Really first. Like really first. Like not neck and neck first. Like really first. Not even the illusion of first. But really first. I think that if we get this right and we actually start believing this scripture, and if we believe it, we'll live it, and if we live it, we'll have the fruits of it. And if we would do that, then our life will take on a whole new balance like you've never seen before. What does that look like? You know, sometimes the life of an Olympian or a top achiever or something, it looks really unbalanced, right? Really unbalanced. What do you mean that Michael Phelps eats 10,000 calories a day? I mean, Michael Phelps is eating and he's swimming and that's it. Whoa, there's some pooping in there. But that's about it. Eat, sleep, poop, swim. And there's only a bunch of gold medals to show for it. The thing is that what is it that you're focusing on? What are you chasing after? What are you doing? Sometimes that chasing after God throws you into a place of seeming unbalanced. But do you not think that God is able to help you to balance the rest? Mm-hmm. I mean, if God can't do that, he's a pretty puny God. Yeah. In the words of Loki. Oh, no. Hulk. The Hulk. Puny God. Yeah. Don't have a puny God. Have a big God and a puny devil. Here's the last thing I'm going to say before I give you just one thing. Are you taking the steps to be the best possible supernatural child of God that you can be? Are you taking the steps? Because it's not going to happen spontaneously. It's not going to happen accidentally. If evolution didn't happen spontaneously from a primordial soup, the primordial soup of your life will not come together spontaneously. It's going to happen by divine design. It's going to happen by divine plan. It's going to happen because you've decided that this is the way I'm going to walk in it. It's going to happen because you put first and prioritize on purpose. Oh, by the way, if we don't purposefully put God first, he won't ever be there. Are you taking the steps to be the best possible supernatural child of God that you can be? When we come back from the Hogan meetings, I might preach the second part of this message, but it's about living in the overflow kind of a life. When we go into these meetings, I hope that what you'll find is that what you're looking for is to step into the realm of the overflow. This is all I'm going to say about this. Step into the realm of the overflow. That instead of living out of the bottom of the jug, you know, the 5-gallon jug that you don't know is empty until you press the button and nothing comes out. Don't be that person where you don't know that you're running dry until you're out. Live and dish out of the top of the vessel. Be so full that it's spilling to overflowing. Live in a place of saturation so that when you're coming, you're getting a download from heaven. We're going to spend an inordinate amount of time in worship. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That's the place. That's the spout where the glory comes out. You got to get under the spout. You got to get filled. You got to get saturated. Saturation means this, that it's when one drop comes in, one drop has to come out. There's no more room to contain it. If you've got room to contain your relationship with Jesus and that's why you're not sharing it with other people, you ain't in overflow yet. Yeah. One of the apostles said, woe be it unto me if I don't share the gospel. If I don't preach this gospel, woe be it unto me. Why? Because if you just keep, you'll be like the mosquito trapped in the blood, in the muscle, right, David? When they hit the vein, boom, you just pump them up. And they don't have an outlet. Poof. If you've never done it, you should try it. It's great. Go to Miloli'i. They'll teach you all about that in Miloli'i. Blow them up. You got to have an outlet so you don't turn into the Dead Sea, but you come full of life. As you pour out, just one thing. Come often and get filled with awesomeness. Make sure you have somewhere to pour it out this week. Now, go pour. Go pour. Take what you got today. Oh my goodness. Some people have never heard this much good preaching in their life. It's not because I'm awesome. It's because Jesus is awesome. They've never even heard stuff this good. Man, if it doesn't light your hair on fire, Tim, I don't know what will. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for the extra time. I'm sorry, you guys. I went more than 30 minutes. Got a little excited, and the zeal of the house of the Lord consumed me on my watch. Father, I pray that you would just cause us to be so hungry, so thirsty, so desperate for you that we will end up completely satisfied. Lord Jesus said, thank you for your word. Help us, God, to believe it. To believe it, God. I pray that you would help us to not only receive, but to go and pour so that we can make room for more. God, I pray that many people would come and that many people's lives would be touched and changed in these upcoming meetings. And throughout this week, let this word change our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.